Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, your great presence in and through our Lord Jesus Christ was such that the people followed him. They knew he was different. He had miracles, signs, and wonders. And then one day, Lord, we know that through him you took bread, loaves of bread and fishes, and you broke them to the people, and that made a whole new vista for them. They thought it was just a matter then of following you for bread and fishes and some type of socialism, Lord. Even the early church tried that, but that didn't work. But the people, Lord, that followed you for the word, that is what really counted. And we pray tonight that the people here, to hear your word, they may not be disappointed. They will not go away hungry, but rather filled, Lord. So help your servant to break that word, Lord. And I cannot do it. As Brother Branham often said, human hands can open the Bible. This anybody can do it. But Lord, only you can open the truth to us. So help us tonight to see the things the prophet brought us, which were vindicated, because we know that they were. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. There's this is number 20 on God of this evil age, and last Sunday we were comparing Christ's church to Satan's church, and we were interested in the two ministries which are set forth in the Word concerning the true church of Christ and the false church of Satan. And we noticed concerning these two churches that there were two headships. And of course there were two groups of people. One headship was of God and one headship was of Satan. And there were two groups of people. There were God's children, there were Satan's children, also called the children of obedience and the children of disobedience, though we saw that many children of obedience were disobedient, but God always sent somebody to turn the disobedient ones. That's the obedient ones, the children of obedience who were disobedient because they did not understand. God sent men to them, prophets like John the Baptist, to turn them to the word. We have that even in our own particular day. So we notice the two headships, of which both purported to be authoritarian as to Genesis, administration, and culmination, but with a very noticeable factor, that Satan does not claim either the Genesis or administration as satanic, but pretends that they are of Christ, with a determined end, as is predestinated by God, especially in the book of Revelation, as it describes New Jerusalem. Now, that's something I hope you caught. The two headships, the two progenitors, the two sources. Now, Satan will not claim authorship. He will not claim that he is the source. He will not claim that he is maintaining that church. He is not claiming worship. He's not claiming the New Jerusalem, or actually the lake of fire, which he's going to, as though he has anything to do with it. But he lays hold and he says, I'm the one that is head of all, and he palms himself off as Jesus Christ. That's what you're actually looking at. A deception, so that his people, the people who follow him, really believe that they're worshiping God and that they're going to end up in the New Jerusalem, be a part of God's great kingdom. Now, it's very strange but true that Satan's church members are believing that they are the true members of Christ. Now, the things I'm saying are shockers. But let us be honest with ourselves. We're not really getting it. We're not shocked. We're not really alive. It's sort of ho-hum. Right? Come on, be honest. I'm not up here as though I'm some idiot. This is a shocker. to think that people are so deceived. Now, if we really understood what I am saying, there must be a direct antithesis or a direct parallel, which means we would be vitally alive to reality. Hot, cold, but not lukewarm. So you see what I'm saying? Now, let me read it again. We're not going anywhere in a hurry. Last Sunday, we compared Christ's church and Satan's church. We found there were two ministries set forth in the Word. We found there were two headships set forth in that Word. And the strange thing is, there's only one real headship sent forth that is recognized. And that is the headship of Jesus Christ, the progenitor, the maintainer, the culminator. And Satan steps right in and he says, "That's me." And the church is utterly deceived. Eight, enter the ark. Well, that's appalling. It's actually unbelievable. But it's the truth. It's strange but true that Satan's church members believe that they are the true members of the body of Christ and they are the bride. They don't know for nothing about foolish virgin. They don't know. They're completely deceived. Now, last week we studied in Ephesians 1:17-23, we took that, wherein it states that the emphatic and declared plan of God was to put Jesus over his church as the head of that church, which actually was the many-membered body of Jesus Christ and a fullness of God. In other words, that everything that God was indicated as for her, and everything that he had was indicated as for her. That there was nothing that God does not have within himself that was not at the disposal of and for the bride. The complete fullness. And we saw that in Christ bringing forth a complete and perfect redemption. Now, so that you are going to see a complete culmination of God and his great sovereign plans for a bride, it'll be brought in actual manifestation. Then we went to Ephesians, the 4:4-16. And we saw Christ return as the Holy Spirit to actually construct that church over which he was to be head, and through the process of his ministry over a period of time, bring that church to the fullness, which would be revealed at that time, which is the time of the resurrection, and you would then understand much more as it's in manifestation. Then in Ephesians 4:11, we saw God using a fivefold ministry of chosen men ordained by himself to work out a continuity in his program until Christ could come back and take over the church, which at that time would be known as the bride. At the same time, we saw Satan develop a church government of his ministers in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter, verses 13-15, where it says Satan himself was an angel of light. That's why he was that son of the morning. He led in the worship. He's a great deceiver. See, he doesn't deny the Bible. He simply wants to take it over. See, and he doesn't deny these things except when it's to his own advantage. But the scripture tells us if Satan himself is transformed into a minister of light, a real angel, a real messenger from God, and that's how Satan used the beast when he came to Eve and then she came to Adam, and it says, how much more then can you really believe that he's got a ministry that'll do that? Now, everybody says, hey, that's right. Yes, sir. But I'm smart. I caught on. Eight made the ark. See, that's what I say. This is so appalling that it should really do something for us. By the grace of God, it will. Now then, as sons of God married the daughters of men and produced a hybridized race, so do we find the true church on an off-the-word course. She leaves the word and becomes entrapped and engulfed at the end time in Babylon, just the same as Israel did, and must wait for a deliverer to take her to the place that she was predestinated to. Now then, like the beast and human Eve mingled the flesh and produced an almost complete beast race by the time of the flood, we see a world satanic church, and we see natural brute beasts fit for destruction at the end time, and they are Satan worshipers, but they are ignorant of it. Now, opens right to John where I wanted it. That was nice. It says here in the book of John 4:22, ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, salvation is of the church, the true bride. So there's a group out there that doesn't know what they worship, but they're worshiping. Now we're running an exact parallel. You can't tell people in the church this is, but it is the truth. Now, as we see this perversion in the church, we find Brother Branham assailing the perversion of men and women in a physical context. Because what the women are like show the condition of the church, even as Israel shows the time in which the church is living. Okay, with that in mind, that's what we're going to start in on page 36, paragraph 152. Now notice he says, religious perversion, human perversion, men don't even know what sex they belong to, neither do women. Stand up with a pair of men's overalls on, or a little old pair of shorts. Clothes that reveal her every move and form of her body, and call herself a Christian. She's not even a lady, let alone a Christian. She's a street prostitute used by Satan, inspired by Satan to send the sons of God to hell to fulfill the word that Jesus Christ said would take place. I didn't mean to say that, but he said it anyhow. So see where this religious spirit comes from, the mixed tree. Now let's look at the first part. He says, religious perversion, human perversion. Men don't even know what sex they belong to, neither do women, and how they dress and so on. Now, I want to go with you tonight to the book of Romans, the first chapter, and we'll try to see something here. Now, remember as we read, the Bible was not originally in chapters and in paragraphs. This was done by a Roman Catholic priest in France who used to ride upon his horse or whatever means of conveyance he had, and he would read the Bible, and he found it was good for the eye span, it was good for him to put it into paragraphs, so that's what he did. So then Scofield came along, and he divided up in sections because he thought he was doing a great job with his, his comments. So what you've got today as you open your Bible is almost a farce. But I believe the Holy Spirit was in a measure, at least in the man doing what he did. So anyway, let's read in the book of Romans in number 1, then we go to 2. Now it says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. It doesn't say to hold the truth in unrighteousness. It says they hold it down. That's what Cain did. He killed Abel. He got rid of the truth. He didn't have any trouble. No, he just held it down. He took it over. Now, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now, in other words, they know this in their hearts. They know what is right. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. They know there's a God. Now, let's go back way before the flood. See, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their reasonings. And their foolish heart was darkened. Notice where darkness came from. It came from the mind. You know, people got this thing all reversed. they got some foolish idea about the heart. Brother Branham didn't come and preach about the heart. He said, this is the mind age. He didn't say the heart age. He said the mind age. You know, you just can't tell people anything, can you? And why do you bother? You know, I'm not saying why should I bother telling you. I'm just saying, hey, look, it's at a dead end. Brother Branham said everything has run out. Even the seed is running out. No more folk to be baptized. No more folk to be trained. When that happens, the spirit that's in our midst raises the dead and changes us. Lets us have to consort together for a while. Calls us to the wedding supper. Takes us up. Okay. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God's one. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, sophists, they became fools. There's your educated church again. Satan's bunch. Bunch of fools. See? They think they're smart. See? And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts of green. That's what they did back there. Now, don't think they're not doing something about that today. Let's read on. Wherefore, God also gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Now, what happened? Darkened mind, darkened heart, filthy living. A true enlightened mind with a true heart doesn't live filthy. Yet these people that say they follow William Branham are from the filthiest people I've ever seen in my life. Shows they're the most darkened of all. Because when light came, they couldn't turn their minds from their denominations. They put a patch on it. Now, if y'all of you folk haven't got Pentecost out of you, you may get murdered tonight, and it's just your tough luck, right? Because I got no excuses, and I got no love for the junk. Amen. Nobody here tonight is my friend when it comes to this. Because I'll preach it just the way I see it. You can preach it any way you want. That's your business. I preach it my way as I see it. Now, listen. Whoops. What's that here? If that touched that little... Get rid of that thing. Okay. It says here, for therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness with lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now notice what they did. When they became perverted sexually, they took over the government. Because God's behind the government. And listen carefully what I read. It says here when they perverted their sexuality, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. It tells you right there what they were doing. They had 100 respect for themselves as animal creatures, indulging themselves perversely, sexually, and they put God entirely out of the picture. I saw it on TV. I think I gave the film to Danny Olson and said, you keep it. I passed it around here. I had our daughter copy it. And in there I saw a Christian senator. And I saw a doctor. And a Catholic dead bone from down there in Cincinnati, Father Bowie or something. He looked like a Bowie. He didn't dare raise his voice. The Christian senator brought up God and His Word, and they're ready to tear Him apart. And said, listen, dope head, we put you in there. We are going to have sex this way. If we get sick, you'll spend the money to cure us. You do it. Now you get one preacher to preach sex within marriage and do it right. Forget it. You see what they've done? I read it to you. Now listen, what's the next step? For this cause, God gave up to vile affections. We haven't begun to plumb the depth yet of the villainy that lies in these things that people are doing. For their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. Likewise, men leaving natural women burn their lust one to another. Men with men working that which is unseen, receiving in themselves that recompense of their which was meet. And even as they didn't like not like to retain God in their nature, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient. That's as it was at the time of the Tower of Babel. He said, whatever enters into their mind, they will do it. In other words, it was a religious institution that did it, and God said they will now worship according to their own minds. And look what their minds were. Now, of course, this is the roughest part before the flood. All right. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Isn't that the book of Timothy all over again? Come on, 2 Timothy. Full of envy and murder, deceit, debate, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Notice a covenant breaker. That's a fellow that enters into a covenant and breaks it. You got it right? It's absolutely the truth. The church has broken its Nazarite vow. His brother Branham brings out. He brought it. He'll bring it out again later on. Now, knowing that the judgment, knowing unmerciful, and knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in the doing. Now notice, in 18 it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and it tells you about it. Now notice what it says for our hour. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, but thou, for thou that judgest, doest the same things. Now, in just a minute, just hold your peace like I can explain it again. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads to repentance? But after thy heart is an impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Hear what it says here? It says, you people are looking back in history. And you are calling and saying, these people had it coming. This is what they did. Now you're doing the same thing, and you say, we don't have it coming. Let me take you, I'll show you where it is. It's over here in Matthew chapter 23, if you want to know where it is. Brother Branham brought this home, and don't think he didn't. I'm going by the prophet, not by Lee Vail. All right, notice here. In Matthew 23, in the 29th verse 1, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tomb of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore be ye witness unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. You're the same slimy bunch. Now, show me the church that has come out against sin. You haven't got one. You haven't got one. Oh, brother, we do. You are a liar sitting in your seats. The women go around naked. The men go around with bangs and long hair. You got a church that's going to hell, and you're going to hell with you. You want to know the truth. Thank God that's not said to anybody in this church here, but the point is this. If you're still back in Pentecost, you're going to get nailed. Because they got him. And you identify with her. You're dead. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation? Now, just wait till I read it, Brother Branham says. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you'll kill and crucify. Some you'll scourge and so on. Brother Branham said, if you are one person who said, if I'd have been back there in the day of Jesus Christ, and I'd have recognized him, you are one of the Pharisees that would have killed him, and you are one of those that crucified yourselves the Son of God afresh in this hour. That's what the prophet said. Now, he didn't put the last few words in there. I put it in because that's the truth anyway. Whether he says it or I say it, it's built on what he says. All right. Listen, he says here, This is a religious perversion. It's a human perversion. And that's exactly true. The sequence is perfect. It is a religious perversion before it is a human perversion, because it's got to be spiritual before it hits a physical, because there was a spiritual man before there was a physical man. There was life before there was a body. You understand what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. The body is only there to manifest. So what's in the church today? She calls herself a Christian. She's not even a lady, let alone a Christian. She's a street prostitute. Now listen. Used by Satan, inspired by Satan, to send the sons of God to hell to fulfill the word that Jesus Christ said would take place. I didn't mean to say that, but he said it anyhow. Now, what does Brother Branham mean by that? Does he mean that this vile church can actually send sons of God to hell? No, it can't send sons of God to hell. There's no way. She is there as Eve was misled. And the church has deliberately set their own gospel and their own manifestation of their physical features in order to captivate and destroy sons of God, to send them to hell, but they're not going to do it. But as the Bible said they'd be here doing it, they're doing it. In other words, Satan's church is exactly what Brother Branham said. Come on, how can you have a son of God go to hell? He's telling you, listen, what I said a while ago. People just don't realize there is a church, and it's a world church full of people who think they're worshiping God. And the Pentecostal church is full of their gifts. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord. You wonder why this church harps on nothing but the word? Because there's only one thing going to save you. What was restored? Paul's gospel. Paul had to set the Pentecostals in order. Oh, what's the difference? I want to go over it again. This church has one thing in mind: to get at the sons of God, to send them to hell if it could, but it can't. Because Brother Branham said, if you had representation, then you got it now. If you got it now, you had it then.
Amen.
How's God going to send a part of himself to hell?
Right.
So he's telling you here, it's in the word, that this church is exactly as it's supposed to be because the word said so. And I read it to you here in Romans and showed you.
Amen.
And look what it says here. Let's go on down further. Who rendered to every man, and it says here, I read it, that's enough. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. 2 Thessalonians 7:1-10, which is based on 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself descending. The judge. I won't let personal feelings come in. I just said it. Okay. See where this religious spirit comes from? The mixed tree. What religious spirit? This spirit that claims to be of God says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is my Savior through Christ our Savior. All of these things they say. And they're worshiping Satan. And says their church is setting a trap to try to destroy sons and daughters of God. And you wonder why Brother Branham screamed against short hair, lousy dresses, high heels. Oh, Brother Veil, don't Brother Veil me. You've told everybody what you were and what you are. She. You think I get steamed up? Well, I do get steamed up. Out of the pulpit, do what you want. I don't go to your home and tell you anything. You learn here, you get corrected. It's the only thing I know what to do. Some say, what's wrong with those slacks? Or whatever they call it, pedal pushers or whatever it is. The Bible said that any woman who will wear a garment that pertains to a man, it's an abomination in the sight of God. That's thus saith the Bible. And a woman who will cut her hair dishonors her head. That's not even natural. What? The Bible says so. It's a sinful thing for a woman to offer prayer with short hair. That's Bible. The Bible said so. Pray in public with her head uncovered. Oh, one says, I'll wear a hat. You hypocrite. That's like Cain. You know, kind of joking. It's a real rough jibe, I say. Oh, these Amish. They invented God. They're stupid black hats. They're stupid clothes. Where was God before the little flat, round, stupid hats? Where was God before the stupid little veils they put on your head, the women? Cain. Cain. Oh, Brother Baal. Go ahead. I told you. I told you at the start of this message you wouldn't believe. Because it's too tough. Or just can't believe those awful things. And you can't believe the Bible. The way you do it. That's why they hated Brother Branham. They got less use for me. I ain't got nothing like he had. You hypocrite. Teach those women such things as that when the Bible said her hair is given for a covering, not some man-made hat. A man-made hat is a man-made word, is a man-made religion, is a man-made God, is Satan. Oh, Brother Baal. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just go ahead. Go ahead. That'll get a long way with God. Sure will. A vindicated word, the vindicated prophet, and you would deny what he said? Hey, Brother Man said, you men let your women do those things? Now, there are a lot of things he said women could do. There's things he said he couldn't do. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. Man is going to answer for his wife, not the wife for the man. That doesn't mean beat her down. I have never wanted to see any woman beaten down. I've saved several marriages by getting that Martin crap out of people's brains about knocking women down. She's going to be a queen. You better be a king. And a palace goes with it, not a great big fishing boat. Woo-hoo, that was a good one. Preacher, Brother Baal. You women think I'm against you? Don't be stupid. I'm not against women. I love my sisters. But I don't love this junk. You women are men. Man-made hats. Man-made God. That's what the Bible said. I'm not responsible. I'm only responsible to tell the truth. And that's exactly what Paul did. He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. I am free from the blood of all men. Amen. The man had all kinds of gifts too. He could put a whole church in order. He said, when Jerusalem here come, he said, it's been proven. I've got a vindicated ministry. What for the word? The Word put the gifts in their place. The Word does not come out of gifts. You do what you want. It's your business. Don't come to me for sympathy. I've had gifts, maybe more gifts than anybody sitting here. Well, I've got evidence. I can make phone calls that you can't prove my prophecies are right on the nose. Prove the healings right on the nose. We got even some here. I'm not worried about praying for sick. Brother Man said, take this message for your healing. Amen. Looks like some folk don't take it. So how about you, Lee? I'm not going to call the kettle black. I'm not going far enough with this word, and tell you that. Because he sent his word to heal. You do what you want. It's your business. It's your baby. I'm doing what I want. Don't be dishonest, as the Bible said, handling the word of God with deceit to fix or to meet the request of some bunch of rickettas. Preachers with, it says, people. The preacher doesn't have an itching ear. It's the people got itching ears, and he's got an itchy mouth. So they get together. Now he writes 155. He said, I got the word evil here. But he said, I got Elvis written down instead of evil. It's all the same. The word Elvis means a cat. Wasn't the cat one of the great objects of Egyptian worship? So it looks like we got an Elvis worship. Oh, yeah. Elvis worship, where Humbard said, I'm going to see him in heaven, and Billy Graham went along with it. I'm not the boy's judge. But if Brother Branham said what he said, I have my doubts that this boy is going to be there. And I'm going to say, I'm not a judge. I don't want to put anybody down, hurt anybody. But when Elvis means cat and Ricky means rat, and that is a name that was reserved for this hour. And remember, right around the time of the flood, people began to call upon the name of the Lord, which means they begin to name their children after the name of God. So you see, people can't help themselves. They're going to be calling whatever is in the age, whatever is in the hour. There's no way you get away from it. He said, Ricky means a rat. When you say little Ricky, you mean little rat. What you call him, that's what he is. Your kids name that. If your kids name that, change it quickly for the sake of the gospel. That's what the prophet said. Don't name a kid that. You never heard such names back in the Bible or in any other age. It's our age. It's a name for this age. What about oral? Oral means verbal, mouth. We gave oral the oral test. We said, oral, what about? He said, I've been kidnapped. God's held me ransom $4 million. When he got four, he raised it to nine, didn't he? $9 million. Where's his credibility? I think God's pretty cheap. Should have gone for $22 million at least, if not $100 million. If Rockefeller could make $1 billion, and God says he owns it all, I don't think Oral was very judicious in what he wanted. I mean, look at the guy put himself open to it, to expose himself to shame. I don't mind saying these things. I don't feel bad at all about saying he's the guy that did it. I didn't. I'm not going to stand back and go say, Oral says it, it's okay. I'm not Mr. DeWeese. It's okay for Bob, but not for me. There ever were perverted rats and cats. It's here in this age. All these million-dollar disc jockeys with these little kids walking out there can't even go to school without a thing sticking in their ear, a little old transistor radio in their pocket just going boom-de-boom. Oh, how they came up there to my house. Those guys trying to paint my house up there. That's in Tucson. He said, so we said, get that thing out of here. If you can't work without that thing, get off the job. Makes me so nervous I can't even stand around here. We've dedicated this place to God. We don't want that kind of boogie-woogie nonsense of these last days around here. I said, shut it up or get off the job. Now, where's the church today? It's rock gospel. Now, how do you get that? A beat. So, I listen in when I'm going down the road. That's the time I play the radio, and I like to hear Dr. Dobson if I should be up at 9, I mean, riding around at 9 o'clock, or these other guys. They're interesting. And so I hear some women on the air, which is very uninteresting. It kind of sours my milk of human kindness for the day. But I listen. Because she's Mrs. Somebody with a big name, and her friend is another Mrs. Somebody with a big name, and they know all about kids and things. So here's what they come. They say, well, listen here. I do not want my children playing those horrible lyrics that are in the world. But you know, they love rock and roll. So I think it's great, and they agree. And so these ladies who are psychologists, and they're great mothers, and they're great social workers, and they're great, wonderful Christians. Oh, yes, yes, yes. They're right up there in the seventh heaven telling God what to do. So they say this. They say, here's the thing. We put Christian lyrics to rock and roll. That's like sanctifying the booze. You see any difference? Brother Brandon didn't say a thing about lyrics. He said, boom de boom de boom. So I like to know the... Now what I'm trying to show you, these same people, they go back to the book of Romans and they say, that's before the flood. Shame on it. Shame on it. Shame on it. They're doing the same thing. They that condemn them.
You say, Brother Dale, don't you condemn those of the flood? No, I'm not condemning them. They don't have a thing to do with me. They've already been condemned 4,000 years ago. What are you talking about?
Amen.
I don't do those guys. I'm reading their record. I recognize it. And I recognize the same thing today as it was in the days of Noah. They don't recognize it. They don't recognize it. Why? Because they don't recognize the days of the Son of Man. Don't recognize the prophet. So you can see where their trouble is. Notice, religious though. Oh, sure, go right to church and stand in the vestibule listening to boogie boogie, boogie boogie woogie. Yeah, you know that. Also notice, Christ's word bride. Christ's word bride, not gift bride now. Christ's word bride is heading up even as we see where the Antichrist is heading. Parallelism of Scripture. You've got two churches. You've got two spirits. You've got Jesus Christ. You got the Son of Righteousness. You got the Son of Man. You got the Man of Iniquity. You got the Son of Perdition. All these things in parallel, see? So, at the end time here, you got an off-the-word bride. And she gets one chance. The manifestation vindicated opening of the seals. She got one chance. Leave it the way it is. Add a word. Take a word. So, notice. Christ's word bride is heading up even as we see where the Antichrist is heading. Now, the point is this. Are we able to discern that there is an Antichrist church heading up? The next thing is, can you discern there's a bride heading up? They can't, because everybody's bride. Millions now living will never die. They cannot see it. Now, being back there and now coming to a head, an ecumenical council will put it to an ecclesiastical head. But the little church has come along also. Christ's word bride, down through the age, is coming to a head, because it's going to be united back to its mate. Now, we've talked about this dozens of times and gone into it, but let's look at it. Notice, Christ's word bride is heading up even as we see where the Antichrist is heading. Now, he's talking in terms, first of all, not the man, the Antichrist. He's talking in terms of the Spirit. We can see where it is going. One day it is going to materialize in an individual, though even now it is in the church as a spirit. So it is with us. The Spirit of Christ has been in the church. He is now here in his own form of the Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire. He is not yet ready to be incarnated. He's simply here. His Spirit is here, and we're looking at headship. Now, beginning back there and now coming to a head, what's the head? An ecumenical council will put it to an ecclesiastical head. He tells you right there, there is going to be a vote. And they're going to vote somebody in. And the person they vote in is going to be taken over by the devil. You're going to have an incarnation. See? Now, what about us? But the little church, that's the bride, has come along also. She is known as Christ's word bride, all down through the age, is coming to a head, because it's going to be united back to its mate. Now, what is the headship of the satanic church? It is the spirit of Satan through its own fivefold ministry, perverted word. What is the headship of the bride? The Holy Spirit fullness came down, just what Brother Branham said. And what are we looking at? We are looking at a vindicated prophet who brought us the word with a bare minority of a fivefold ministry going on with the word. Now, it's coming to a head, because it's going to be united back to its mate. Now, it says united back to its mate. Now, hold it. If it's united back to a mate, At one time it was united to a me. To be united back, therefore, then signifies that it once was united. And Paul said, I have espoused you to Christ as your husband. But he said, you have broken those vows. Now, she has got to get back to him. How is she going to get back? She's going to get back when she manifests her Nazarite vows. Then you short-haired women, and you that cut your hair, you tell me you're in the bride. And you want to associate with churches that allow it by your doctrine because they haven't cleansed it out of your heart and mind? Hey, I'm a tough cookie. Don't talk to me about what you got. I'm not interested. Because I'll stand here and trump anybody's issue. You want to swap stories that you can back up what God's done through your life and ministry? I can get them all over the world almost. I'm not interested. It went to pot in the garden over one word. And Paul said, you've been seduced. I'll read it here. Don't just believe me because I say it's in the scripture. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And he says, categorically, would to God you'd bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me. So I'm going to be a little overbearing now. I'm going to be a little bit foolish. Well, he said, you won't consider this to be thus saith the Lord. You won't consider this significant. You won't consider this vital. You won't consider that this will take you to your death. He said, but bear with me because I'm stupid old Paul. Silly old boy, you know, Paul the Aged, silly old boy. So he listened, he said, this old fool talk. He said, whether you know or not, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. We've talked about that too. Where the man's suspicious, his wife's been messing around, he can't prove it. So he gives her the test, and it's in the book of Revelation, the end time, when the vials are poured out and her belly swells and the wrath of God comes upon her. I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you the chaste virgin, but I fear. Poor old silly me talking now. He said, of course, he said, you know, you're a wonderful girl and you know, you got all the answers, you know. He said, Brother Bale, you carry on. You're lying. I am not carrying on. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians. It's the same church. I'm not lying to him. I'm not carrying on. Paul's the guy that carried on. He said, here's a poor old fogey Paul, he said. He's got a sneaking suspicion. Lest by any means the serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So, what was their God? Word. You can do what you want with it. God didn't get in their minds. The Word. Paul gave the people one thing, which was the revealed Word. And let me tell you something about the Apostle Paul. He never took him back to Pentecost. Peter came from Pentecost. He opened the two doors, the Gentiles and the Jews. When it came to a showdown on the Word, he chickened out. And he blew it. Why, he said to James and these Judaizers, why, he said, I think we ought to circumcise Timothy. And the man separated unto Paul by the Holy Ghost, Barnabas, said, hey, he said, I think we ought to circumcise Timothy. Paul said, what? He said, Peter, you went into the Gentiles, live like a Gentile. Now you're coming back and trying to tell the Gentiles live like Jews? He said, that's sin in you. Now he said, Peter, who sinned, you or God? Amen. And Peter backed down. Amen. Now where's your Pentecost? And I say this to the Branhamites, who keep on talking about a certain guy from Tennessee, quoting Brother Branham all the time, getting back to Pentecost, and but say, not the 1906. What Pentecost are you talking about? Come on, let's look at it. I'll look you all in the eye. Every one of you. Tell me, who sinned, Peter or God? Put your finger on Paul. Come on. Come on, put your finger on Paul. Kind of scares you, doesn't it? And Paul said, in this day, that day, that day, you're going to believe his testimony. I had it all written out here in my notes. I let it go by the board. Forget it. Tell you sometimes you really have to know and you can't catch it. See? Because it's going to be united back to its mate. It went off track here. Because they took another... Now listen. How did they take that other Jesus? By preaching. Not by vindication, by preaching. You think God would vindicate a Trinitarian God? You got to be crazy. You think God would vindicate a man who said, women, it's okay to have your hair cut or to put a little thing on your head? And women be really sexy because that's the way to go. You know, win them by sweet, sweet. Come on. Lest your minds be corrupted. He that cometh preaches another Jesus whom you not preached. Or you receive another spirit which we have not received. Or another gospel which we have not accepted. It tells you right there. So, how's the church going to get back? Well, I can tell you flat, you got to get back by a vindicated word. Always just like the church and everything else has got to unite. Everything in the Bible is for union. There's nothing that isn't. And in the union, it's got to get back to God who made the unions. All right, now look at here. Always just like the church, everything else has got to unite. The wheat, everything else has got to come right back to the head. What does it mean by head? Was there a head of wheat in the beginning? No, there was one seed. Actually, there was one life called wheat life. And when God said, let the seed, the ground bear forth the herbs and the wheat and the oats and the barley and all those different things, there was in that seed that God made the ability, that seed, to take the chemicals of the earth and come forth and reproduce itself. So he said, getting forth back to the head. So, all right, you got two things what you're looking at. You're looking at nature, you're looking at the bride. The bride is wheat. He gathers the wheat into the garner. So you got to get back to the head. And what's the head of the wheat? Christ.
Amen.
So the bride's been away from the head. Now he comes and makes himself known. There he is, the pillar of fire. There he is over there. Signs and wonders, every vindication. And he said, I am here. And Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And everybody around here says, oh, he, that's it, just a doctrine. And who are the ones saying it? The Pentecostals. I'll be honest, I got a bone to pick and an axe to grind. But I'm not a hypocrite. You know where I stand. I can just tell you, if the word doesn't do it, it ain't going to be done. Because Rheem and Logos is one of the same. Never mind this guy up in Illinois. Preachers around here just love to have him come because they're as crazy as he is. Look, I got a concordance right there. Strong concordance. Pick it up tonight and you'll find that Rheem and Logos are interchangeable just the way the prophet made it. So much for your stupid Greek. Isn't the Greek stupid? It's the stupid guys that use it. You know why they use it? To try to destroy you. Quote this and quote that. God had pity on the poor people. Because Brother Branham said, this church is raised up to send sons of God to hell. To trick you. We were in there until the prophets had come out of her. All right. I don't want to be too mean because then I expose my nature. Because I'm naturally not, I'm not a mean person, you know that. Listen here. All we're just like the church and everything's got to unite. The wheat, everything else has got to come right back to the head. Where it started from, like Cain and Abel. Now right there, what was the source of Abel? Adam was through Eve, and Eve was through Adam, so therefore Adam, not Eve, was the source of Cain. Abel, rather. What was the source of Cain? The beast was, not Adam. As Brother Branham said and everybody else in this, there is no genealogy, even concerning that man. Was his name in the book of life? I wonder. Couldn't have been in God's. But he was in the book only on the grounds that he was put there as the rest were put, because there are books with that type of record. In other words, it says, here they are, here's what they're doing, like Pharaoh. Now watch. Like Cain and Abel. There's your two people, your representatives. There's your two churches. There's your two spirits, your journey. Word bride heading up in the person of the Word of God. What's the person of the Word of God? Logos. What is Logos? It's the manifestation of the trinsicality and essentiality of God Himself, and we can only know it by Scripture.
Amen.
So, because that's exactly what it is. You get that word Logos, it doesn't only mean to express the thought, but it must contain the actuality of it. So therefore, what do we have? The word bride heading up in the person of the Word of God made manifest in this evil age that we're living in. See where it's heading up? Now you said, do you see what I'm talking about? He doesn't say, see where you're said heading up all the way, way here. He's not saying that. Why would the prophet get up and point you way, 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 way? I see where it's heading. Listen, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see where the heading is? Where the headship is? Do you understand headship? That's what he's asking the question. As far as I know, I can't take it someplace else on the very grounds the prophet himself said, always looking forward, always looking back, never know what's going on. So then why should he point you down the road? My ministry is not to declare he is coming. My ministry is to declare he is here. So don't look back. Don't look forward. See? And it's not a matter of, oh, he's coming, he's coming, he's here, he's gone. A lot of people got that idea. Where do you get that? Where did the prophet say it? See where it's heading up, he said? What's heading up? You can tell there's going to be an incarnation of Satan. There's going to be an incarnation of Jesus Christ. The two spirits are identified. What's moving in both churches? One is word, one is anti-word. Now, what's in the head? Well, you know what's in the head as well as I do. There's number one, there is the mouth. Strange to say, you'd say, I think the eyes. No, the mouth. I'm giving you the right order. The last moving part Brother Bannon put was the eye. But the point is this, the prophet with the eye is no good unless there's a mouth, which signifies a word. And the word and the man is one and the same thing. Because the word is the man. All right, now we're looking at this heading up here. The fact of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire in our midst. The Lord Jesus Christ, as Brother Van said, in the form of the Holy Ghost in pillar of fire, is here in our midst. And he is where our headship is because only by knowing the word can we know our mate. You see, if you don't accept Rhema and Logos as one and the same, you can't. Forget it. Now, you see, the smart world up there can't do it. No, they can't do it. They can't make Rhema and Logos the same, though they did take their concordance, take their Greek. They know it's interchangeable. They'll stumble right there. They don't understand the Spirit in Ephesians 1. They don't. They're not going to because they're not given in the knowing. Now, it's heading up, and it's made manifest. Now, what is made manifest? What is made manifest is the days of the Son of Man. In other words, that manifests that Son of Man is here now, which is the prophet. Now, go back to 1960. When Brother Branham threw his bomb, I was completely devastated that he should dare stand up and call that one the judge. Then take it right on down to the right throne. I said, oh God, the prophet is all messed up when it comes to chronology. He blew it. And he preached the seals. He blew it some more. And one day I saw it. That made the difference. You see, my eyes weren't made to see it. My mouth wasn't made to say it. Now, before the prophet was made to see it, he had a mouth to say it, because that's exactly what God told Jeremiah. And that's what he told Moses. I gave you mouth. I'll be with your mouth. I'll be in your mouth. What you see, right. Brother Brown said, I was the only man. I was different from all of the men because I was the only one who could tell it as I saw it. Perfect recall. So here we are at the end time. The bride has come to her headship. Okay, 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Brother Branham used this before, 4th chapter. 14 to 15. I write not these things to shame you, as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. How were they begotten? Through the gospel. I want to ask you a question. How were you begotten? Well, if you're not shy about sex, you understand purely and simply. True sexual intercourse of my mother and father, where the sperm was deposited in her womb by where the egg was, and therefore I begin to come into existence. I want to ask you a question. Has it ever changed? No. The life you had then is the life you got now, and what supported it then is the same thing that supports it now. So, all right, you've been begotten by the gospel.
Amen. Right.
Now, suddenly, Brother Branham's a liar. Oh, he's a liar. Oh, yes, God is starting out now with a human being. He's building a body, and he says, hallelujah, bless God. Cat cell, ha ha, looks good. Dog cell, ha ha, looks better. Horse cell. Didn't Brother Branham say it? I put the emphasis in the little fireworks. I like my way better than his. Not the teaching better, just the way I teach it. Brother Branham categorically said, he lies cell to cell to cell, and he does not put a dog cell, he does not put a cow cell, but he puts a word cell. But of course it's not going to work. This is Lee Dale. He's a liar, just like the prophet. Because it's too tame. Something else will make it work. That's crazy. That's crazy. You think God deals in double choices? The God boo-boos? Let's read it again. I write not these things to shame you, but about sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. So how does Christ work? Through the gospel.
Yes, sir,
so all right, are we going to have a perfect bride? Whether you believe it or not, through the ages, God has a perfect bride who added word to word to word, which was the word in season, until she comes forth in the full stature of Jesus Christ. And she's coming forth now, and it's going to be word. And he warns at the end time there'll be those who will come and deceive the people with gifts like they're doing right now in the Branham Church. All over the place they're doing it. Oh, all emotion, all gifts in this. I'm not against gifts. No problem with it. But let me tell you something, the age of gifts is over. Let me tell you something else. The greater contains the part as the whole, or the greater contains the smaller, or the whole contains the part. And my Bible tells me at this time, that which is perfect has come. And Brother Brown has said, by God's grace, we believe we have the perfect revelation in His word for this hour.
Amen.
If you got it then, that's what we're looking at. See? Word bride heading up. in the person of the Word of God made manifest. So then it's a person. It's the Logos. God manifested, proving it. And this hour and this generation. You read all the verses? Yeah. Begotten through the gospel. Okay. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to quit now pretty quick because I get tired. I didn't used to get tired, but I get tired now. So it's a good excuse. You got a good excuse to get rid of me. Say, leave those tired, get rid of them. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10. When he shall come to be glorified, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe in that day, because our testimony among you was believed. Hey, those people have been dead for 1900 years. Yet, they're resting on that. You quote me wrong? I'm quoting you right. They're resting on it. And Paul said, you were troubled, wrath with us. When? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. There he is right there. Took a picture. Well, people say, well, that couldn't happen. Well, of course not it couldn't happen. Why? Because the church said so. Dr. So-and-so said so. And Professor So-and-so said so. Sure, they said so. And the vindicated prophet said so. So I'm a fool. I'll take a prophet any against these smart jerks.
Amen.
Come on, how far back can you guys remember? Come on, Joe, you're a smart guy, and Gene, you're a smart guy. We got engineers all over the place. You remember the time, what is it, 60 years ago, they said the dipping needle, when it dipped down, followed the current way it was going. And they found out the dipping needle didn't do that way. Oh, science is smart. Oh, you're smart. Oh, yeah, the doctor tells you when you got candida, go to a psychiatrist. So I said, okay, I'll give any doctor $5,000 for the first hour to talk the bugs out of me, and the next hour, give him $10,000 more to talk the bugs out of me. Hey, and I got a bargain. He talked the bugs out of me. Hey, man, I in shape. Get them bugs out of me. Stupid. What do you think you're pulling on? And Satan will take his intellectual bride and exalt this great one, which is the Antichrist. The hierarchy, Satan's fivefold ministry. Set him on a throne, and the whole world will wonder after him. Then Christ will come and burst his bubble.
Hallelujah.
Christ will come and the two cannot exist at the same time. Now the word exist is a pretty different word. That's when you get right into the the cosmos. You'll never get two of them manifested in a human structure and they'll exist side by side. No way. Because one's going to blast the other. That's just what God said in the Garden of Eden. He said, I'll tell you what's going to happen. He said, he is going to bruise your heel and you are going to step on his head. In other words, you are going to take headship back from the enemy. Oh, praise God, we're in headship now. The prophet said, headship has come. And I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about the spiritual. And Satan's kingdom will be taken. Satan will be destroyed by Christ the Word. That's Revelation 19. Now, the woman is a part of the man's body. They're not two, they're one. And the bride, church, word, of people called out from here and there for his namesake. Now that's Matthew chapter 12 and verse 21. The Gentiles trust in him. Will unite in the body of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of the Antichrist will be taken and destroyed. That's Revelation 19. And Christ shall take the throne and sit upon the throne of his father David and reign upon the earth for 1,000 years and then present the church to God without spot or blemish. As Brother Branham said, it's 1,000 years of further sanctification. I'll tell you, I'm all for that. God knows my heart. I am so fed up with Lee Vail and his crap and corruption, his naughtiness, his filthiness, his complete undoneness, like David looked at his own life and said, God, I was conceived in sin, shaped in iniquity. Why did you pull me into hell and blow me up? Just get rid of me. Brother Branham got so disgusted with himself, he said the same thing. He said, God, just get rid of me. Give somebody else ministry. He said, I've been a failure, always will be a failure. Let me tell you something. The church that started way back there is going through the process of Ephesians 5:26-27, which is the cleansing, the washing of the garments, as in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14, is now the waters of separation, where He's washing her by those waters, sanctifying her, giving, making her spotless and clean, all glories within and without. So she can walk right to the tree of life. And let me tell you something. It is something that He is doing.
Amen.
I wish I had taken time to show you how really that Christ came down to head His church up. He was going to do it all, but He allowed a fivefold ministry in there. And the fivefold ministry sold out. Just like Eve did. They listened.
Sure.
Paul didn't.
Amen.
His church did. But William Branham didn't. And he said there'll be a bride under his ministry that won't listen either, except to that word. That's too tame. Too tame. Well, we have Barbara here with her flute. Dave, you used to play polkas, didn't you? And good, fast, hot ones. Attaboy, kid. How about it? Can you jazz the piano? All fat. You spoil sport, you. Why, we could have a rumba band going, everybody do the boogie woogie woogie and have a great time. Let's have joy. Let's have Pentecost in the camp. If I'm to rise, if I mean to be. I've preached. I give any man the microphone. Come up here and preach.
I'm going to the Father wrong.
Anybody can do it. Any three or four do. Come on up, tell me where I'm wrong. Not here to fuss anybody. I'm depending on God's life in this word to do it. I'm depending on the conduit. The Brother Brown has said it was a conduit of the Holy Ghost. You think for 1 minute you per se are the conduit. You're wrong. You are the conduit of the conduit. There's a big difference. You are the insulation on the nerve system, the sheath of the nerve system. When that sheath goes, the body deteriorates and the person cannot act the way he or she would like to act. Therefore, the Holy Ghost needs a sheath. It needs a conduit to the Word. That means men and women. Where do we stand tonight, brother, sister, with the Word of God? I've never asked anybody to produce it. I've never asked anybody to try to produce it. All I've ever preached is this. Only one person ever did live it. That was Jesus Christ. The rest of us are predestinated to believe it. And where there is a service, we can render service. Whatever gifts God gives, they are available to us to be used. But you cannot depart from the truth of this hour. And Brother Branham categorically said the last moving part was the eyes. From then on, it is the mind. Therefore, what is in the mind at this hour is word power. That's right. If the Holy Ghost is in it, if it's the Word of God, He's got to be. Brother Branham said, you take the properly germatized seed and put it in the properly fertilized ground. All it needs is the rain and the sun. Lying in His presence. They don't even believe He's here. Relaxing in His presence. 23rd Psalm. Beside the still waters. Shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Stranger's voice they do not hear. John turned to hear the voice because he knew the man and the voice was the same thing. And Brother Branham said he turned to see if it was a scriptural voice. And it was. Trees planted by the waters. He giveth His beloved rest. The last day, the prophet said, relaxation is under the seventh seal. Where do you get it? You get it when Paul's message comes back. What is Paul's message? It is the truth. What is the lie? Anything against it. I read to you Revelation 22 and 10. It says, seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is at hand. So between Revelation 10 and 4 and Revelation 22 and 10, the seals are opened. Is that right? Then it says in Revelation 22, 18, 19, it says, don't add one word to the sayings of the prophecy. Don't you dare change what Brother Branham said under those seals. He said he is here. Oh, they want that seventh seal back on the book, then the book isn't open. But you see, the thing about the seventh seal, it is manifold. And the one thing that Brother Branham said, he said that seventh seal, in Matthew 24, I think it was, he said was not enunciated. It was a hidden thing. It was hidden. That's down the road, the literal second coming. But this is not. He said, see, he said, God not only went down to Egypt with Moses and appeared in signs and wonders, but he himself appeared upon Mount Sinai in a pillar of fire. So today... And he's not talking about that other time, is he? You can't have your cake and eat it. Come on, you can't have a white blackbird. Come on, come on, come on. Don't try to change things just because you think it'll make you feel better. You're going to feel worse because of it. I've had to face everything I preach. I look at certain sermons and I say, God, hey, I can't face that sermon because it cuts me to ribbons. Hey, I haven't got anything. I say, hey, I got to read that thing. When I study it, it's not like I thought it was. Perfect faith killed me. Stature of perfect man destroyed me. One day I said, God, destroyed, here I come. Amen. Wasn't what I thought it was. What are you afraid of? Afraid of the word? No, I say, just the way you preach it. Well, I can understand that. I can understand that. But what if the prophet were here? And he preached this over again. What if he could come behind me and just preach it the way it's in this record? You'd feel like you never feared before. Because, you know, I'm not vindicated, but he is. And I've tried to take it word by word. Let's bow our heads at this time. Heavenly Father, we know that it's not very long. It cannot be. We know time has to be running out. Lots of things, Father, we could even say, have we missed them? I don't believe we have. I believe everything's on time. If you made your universe the way you made it, that people set their clocks by it and everything else, then certainly... we're not going to have a bit of trouble with your word, because your word made all these things and your word runs all these things. We can just take consolation in nature if we had to, but we don't, because we had a revealed word. Now, Father, may that revealed word be in every single heart and mind, and especially mine, Lord, because I lay it on so heavy and so hard, Lord, as though I'm mad at somebody and angry with things, Lord. Forgive me if I have been. If I've used the word as a club, Lord, I've been a hypocrite. But I preach the same thing every single time, as far as I know. Father, I'm not looking to hear the rustle of angels' wings. It'd be nice if I did. I'm not looking even for angels to bear me out of here, as though that's some little special favor you might do. I'm only looking, Lord, somehow, that some way, by your grace, your word, Lord, will take lodging in my mind and my heart, and come forth, Lord, what the word was planted for. Not what I think it's planted for, or somebody else thinks it's planted for, but, Lord, why you planted it. As your prophet often quoted, I, the Lord, had planted, watered it, lest any man pluck it out of my hand. I know he's telling us that it's going to be what was said. Father, I pray that there's not one heart in this building that isn't fertile soil. Receiving the word, and the rain and the sunshine of God to bring it into perfect harmony and bring it to pass in these hearts, minds, and lives. Where we're lacking, Father, I know you'll make it up. And God, you know that I lack particularly up here. I'm a great lacker in so many things. And I know everybody in this building feels the same way. But Lord, I know that you don't have any lack. And you're here, Lord, to give us of yourself, to give us of your fullness. And that ought to do it, and I believe it will. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord, because we know the prophet said you take this word for your healing. And I know, Lord, it goes beyond a physical healing. It means right down in the very soul and bring us right into the whole body of Christ, feasting on that word, bringing to a bride that stays with that word, walks right to the tree of life, right into immortality. God, somebody's going to do it. If we don't do it, Lord, there's a bride out there somewhere that will. And may we have the love and the grace of God the prophet had to say, if we're not it, we won't stand in her way. We'll be here encouraging and cheering on. Give us that, Lord, what the prophet had. Just that, Lord, not his ministry, just that good atmosphere and spirit. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Tomorrow morning, we'll just continue. Never seem to get too much done. That's all right. You know, the rapture hasn't taken place anyway, so, you know, you just keep on working. All right, we're going to go, before the foot washing and communion, we're going to go here to the book of John. I believe it's the 13th chapter. And this is where it tells us in those first few verses concerning the supper that they had. And it was an ordinary supper, of course. And tells you how that Jesus washed their feet. Now, if you check in verse, it says, supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in his hands, he was come from God and he went to God. He rise from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. After he had poured water into a basin, began to wash his head with his feet, to wipe them with the towel with his girdle. And then cometh Simon Peter and said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash not thee, what? Thou wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head and hands. And Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garment and sat down again, he said, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Well, now, what I'm looking at here is this foot washing ceremony is one that followed their acknowledgement of his revelation that he was their Lord and Master. He said, you call me Lord and Master, and that's exactly true because I am that. Now, the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So on this last day, foot washing is especially applicable because hardly anybody washes feet, and those that do wash it, they just simply say, well, it's something the Lord commanded, and so therefore you do it, and that's true. If that's the furthest you get, that's perfectly good. But we saw over here previously that Jesus said concerning him that having loved the world, he loved his own which were in the world. So it has to do then with the very love of God himself. And you know, there wouldn't be any greater love that God could ever bestow upon anybody than actually for the Lord to give that person the revelation of himself that he is Lord. Now, these people here, Jesus said, now you have recognized, you've acknowledged me, you know who I am, and in turn, I am acknowledging you. So, it's an awful lot like the baptism with the Holy Ghost, where Brother Branham said, if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, you really shouldn't be partaking of the Lord's Supper. It's really something for the blood-washed, the Spirit-filled people, because this is what it is all about. So, when you look at this, you can also see that though this might come to us as a very common thing, something a little different, a little peculiar, but very mundane and kind of funny in the way that it's different. You wash each other's feet and so on. What it really means. Well, as I say to me, in that hour, it meant, as I look at it, that which I have said, He recognizes a true revelation in them. He recognizes that He is their Lord and Master. They having recognized that they are His. And so the foot washing has taken real effect. It was a genuine, pertinent ceremony. All right. You've got the same thing in this hour. You've got the very same thing. The Lord Himself shall descend Him with a shout. Well, the days of the Son of Man proves the literal fact that it's the same Jesus who is here in flesh, has come back in the form of the Holy Spirit, is doing identically to what He did when He was here in the flesh, proving who He is, and we, what are we doing? We are actually ceding to ourselves this Lordship by recognizing. Now notice, Jesus answering back, I am your Lord. What did He answer back to? Their confession. Now look at it. Let's be honest. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. If He ain't Lord of all, He ain't Lord at all. Hey, what about that? Ha, that's the devil. Oh, that's, that man Branham. Here they all get kooky. As soon as God does something by somebody, he goes out of his gourd. Same thing in Dowie. Everybody's the same. Are they? I didn't know that. I thought Elijah had to come. Jesus said, all that came before me and said that he was the Christ. He said, they're thieves, robbers, and liars. But he came anyway. What about this one today? So you see, foot washing can have a much more greater meaning than just the idea of once you're truly born again, all you got to do is come and get a little cleansing, you know, by confession, this and that. I say, since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Alpha is Omega, the instituting or the institution of foot washing at that time, based upon their understanding of who it was, his speaking back to them, and he, now watch, cleansing, nourishing, leading them right in to the kingdom, you put that on our level, what is the thing he would do when he comes back? Lead us right to the kingdom. Acknowledging our testimony. So foot washing is not just an ordinary little thing in the Bible. Not to me it isn't. It means we witness to him and he witnesses back to us. And you know that's what John said. When you witness to him, he'll witness back. Brother Branham said it. There's got to be an answer back. That's the way Brother Branham was. In other words, there's a vindication. And foot washing is what you might say then, in my understanding, a type of it all. It's a very blessed sacrament that has been left us. It's right in there with the communion of the emblems of the Lord's table, the broken bread and the wine. And it is a commandment, no less given to us than was communion. That's true. If you have one, you should have the other. Now, let's go a little further. I didn't read it tonight. Brother Branham talks about a man and his word being the same thing. But I'll ask the question. How can anybody really constitute him Lord outside of his word? Because you don't know what he wants as being Lord outside of his word. Unless a man communicates and tells you. The whole structure begins to crumble. Then we're right back where Brother Branham took us. where Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Oh, this, that. Well, who do you say? I say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed you, Simon, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon the confession of the revelation, I will build my church. Church and revelation. And so at this end hour, I just commend us all tonight to not have just thoughts of a ceremony, something to run through. That's not what we're here for. But it's to stay with the Word, obey Him in foot washing and communion, and know that it's something that God wanted. And we are doing it not because it's simply something that God wanted. And it's not something that our fathers have done. It is because we're the blood-washed, born-again children of God with the true revelation of this hour. We are walking with the Lord as He wants us to. Let's rise at this time then. The brethren, please come forward. They're going to serve. And when it comes to receiving the emblem of the shed blood, the table is pulled out so you can have a stream of people going by on both sides. Two cups are there. It makes it much easier for us to continue our service with the lady starting foot washing in the back. And you all know how we do it here. So let us bow our heads in prayer, and as we do, remember those that are going to serve by playing and all you be the first ones and come forward. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank You for the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which we know Brother Branham said was the Word, being the conduit of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, Lord, it may not be too manifest, and it may not be as though we seem to have that great measure of love as we wanted. But long, Lord, as we have that Word, we know that love will be there. Help us, Father, to take away everything out of our lives tonight that would hinder that love that is in the Holy Spirit that's in the Word from coming forth amongst us, Father. Until that blessed love is in us in such a way, Lord, as to be truly manifest, the sweet Spirit of Christ come in our very midst. And Lord, we have the sick healed amongst us, even as the prophet said. Gifts as they were, as on the shelf. Lord, we know no gifts taken away from us, but we know that there's something supersedes it all. And we, Lord, we're believing at that time. We're not trying to get out of anything, Father, either, to say, well, it's gone. Lord, we don't believe that because we're very happy with anything that You give us. Anything, Lord, You do for us. But we're not going to be carried away from what the prophet taught us. These things, Father, we believe in our hearts and have set our minds to. So we go through this service then. We pray, Lord, that You receive us in witnessing to You that this is where we stand. We're standing with You as when You were here upon earth in flesh. And now we're standing with You now that You're here in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire, having brought us the Word, waiting now to raise the dead and call us together to take us out of here to the great marriage supper and incarnation where we crown You King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Surely, Lord, such a simple thing to do in honor of You. We can all do it and be glad we can do it. Unto Thee we give the glory. Sanctify, therefore, the entire process of these rites of washing the feet, Lord, the giving and taking the bread and the wine, and, Lord, doing the work that You said it would. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Well, service at 10 tomorrow morning, and we have dinner afterward, and trust you have a good night's rest. We'll be refreshed. That's scriptural, I do believe. Let's rise and be dismissed. Father, we pray now You go with us to our various homes, Father, and may we have a good night's rest. May we put all our cares upon You, Lord, even as we trust You exclusively by the blood to forgive us our sins, O God, and as we realize that no one but the Holy Spirit can help us, may we believe that tonight, that You do help us, You do take us through, that we are established in You. All these things, Lord, that You said about us in our hearts we want to receive, God. We pray tonight that we shall receive them, Lord, and put it to Your credit, which is true, that You are true. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.